Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. It is an honor and privilege also to welcome our ministry as led by the executive, the DG, and the officials of the department who may have logged on and are in attendance. But also let me recognize honorable members, members of the public, who continuously have taken interest in the engagements of the committee, particularly as we navigate through this upgrading of land tenure rights amendment bill. It is also worthy to note, honorable members, as we go through this process, that the Interministerial Committee has now placed before Parliament the expropriation of land without compensation, and it will be now underway in the work of the ad hoc committee to continue to ensure that that becomes the law of the Republic. We will have to, as some of the members deployed in that ad hoc committee, have to look into how it impacts on the broader issue that Matthias always speaks on, one system of land tenure throughout the Republic. So we will be looking with interest as the impacts of that. But honorable members, having been able to part last week on the engagement we had on clause by clause, we would want to pick up where we had left off and see as to what are other issues to be able to take into consideration. And therefore, it is worth noting that since the publication of the bill, the committee has considered the written and submissions, received responses from the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. We have further received analysis and isolation of critical questions and issues by researchers and content advisors of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And we have also as well received legal advice from the parliamentary legal advisor Ubawona Tim Chengane. In our last meeting, the committee adopted the motion of desirability, noting that the amendments before the committee had been determined through a constitutional court order. In essence, honorable members, the question of desirability of the bill has been determined by the court order, which compels Parliament to remedy the defects in the principal act. Therefore, the amendments necessitated by the court order in both the Rahube and Senqu matters were non-negotiable. Hence, the committee's decision to focus on what the Constitutional Court order instructs Parliament to do. As a result of Clause 4 of the Amendment Bill, insofar as it relates to Section 3, Section 19 and 20 of the Principal Act, is excluded from the Amendment Bill. The reasons for the rejection of clause 4 can be summarized as follows. The Sengqu judgment did not order Parliament to do anything. It simply lifted suspension of clause 3 to apply across the Republic of South Africa. What is left is to update the statute. This committee should ascertain if clause 3 provides adequate protections of land rights required in section 25, subsection 6, which Rahube judgment ably pronounces. If not, the committee might wish to explore inclusion of protections such as those in the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act. During the public hearings, honorable members, the committee had members of the public lamenting the fact that ULTRA pre-1994 legislation not compliant with the Constitution on its own is inadequate piece of legislation to address the complexity of communal land rights administration and offer security of tenure required in section 25, subsection 6 of the Constitution. Sections 19 and 20 falls short, taking into consideration layered or nested nature of rights and customary land rights in communal areas of South Africa, therefore making these sections applicable throughout South Africa does not even begin addressing the land tenure insecurity. Lifting suspension of subsection 19 and 20 would require an overhaul of the entire legislation, which may be futile exercise because the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development has made a commitment to introduce the Communal Land Tenure Bill in this current financial year. It is important, though, to note, honorable members, that the committee is extremely concerned about piecemeal approach to developing comprehensive legislation that will ensure Parliament honors its obligation as required in terms of section 25, subsection 6, and subsection 9 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Section 25, subsection 6 provides that, I quote, a person or community whose tenure of land is legally insecure as a result of past racially discriminatory laws or practices is entitled to extent provided by an Act of Parliament, either to tenure, which is legally secure, or comparable redress, close quote. Section 25, subsection 9 provides that, I quote, Parliament must enact the legislation referred to in subsection 6, close quote. As discussed during the previous meetings, honorable members, most of the substantive comments from stakeholders and members of the public brought to the attention of the committee that the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act, IPILRA, was an interim measure which has some limitations. Although useful to ensure some measures of the constitutional protections of the informal land rights of citizens, the committee unanimously agreed that legislation required in section 25 subsection 6 is long overdue and must be a priority for the committee during the remaining term of the financial year. Firstly, the committee must invite the minister to present the broad frame and key principles of the Communal Land Tenure Bill and how it seeks to address concerns of tenure insecurity and land administration in communal areas. Sections 3, 19 and 20 are inadequate provisions to provide security of tenure, as stakeholders told the committee. Secondly, the committee must develop a calendar program which the department must follow to ensure that the Communal Land Tenure Bill is introduced for processing, preferably before the end of this financial year. In this way, honorable members, the committee will be able to address the concerns raised by members of the public, which the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Amendment Bill, currently before the committee, is not able to deal with. Last Friday, the committee started to deliberate on the amendments by reading the entire bill as introduced in Parliament, highlighting some of the issues that should be addressed in the amendment. Today's agenda is a continuation of that process. I therefore, honorable members, invite members to refer to a report of the public hearings, and pages 14 and 15 provides as useful summary of sections and proposals from stakeholders. Equally, a summary of written submissions, the amendment bill, and the principal act are useful points of reference. The committee will follow this process. One, to deliberate amendments clause by clause, i.e. relevant sections of ULTRA that are being amended. We seek to facilitate consensus on the committee's position regarding the proposed amendments. Two, provide opportunity for Parliament legal advisors and state law advisors to confirm if the deliberations provide them with information to draft committee amendments or a list of the bill. Three, afford the department an opportunity to make input in line with the response to the oral and written submissions. In our next meeting, honorable members, the committee will then consider the A-list bill committee amendments before reading the B version of the bill clause by clause. I therefore want to invite honorable members for any comments on what we have already expressed on. Honorable Klabe.
Thanks, Chair. And thanks for an introductory outline of the process. Chair, I think what you just outlined gives history, brief history of where we're coming from as the committee with this bill. It also gives account of the stakeholders' interactions we had during public hearing up to the legal advice and subsequently the interaction of the report in general by the committee. Chair, I think I don't have any submission to make except that you have given account of where we are, and I'm looking forward to today's engagement continuing as we agreed on Friday with the analysis again, clause by clause of this act. Thanks. Of this bill.
Thank you. Honorable Mahlo. Honorable Mem Mahlo. Honorable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for that. Gaan goed, Chair. I wanted to say you might freeze because you did not greet your fellow member from the Eastern Cape in the morning session, but it's fine. Chairperson, yes, I want to agree with your summary that you gave this morning. I think it's very important that we all start off from the same starting point. That was also part of what I tried to get clarity on Friday when we started, because I was concerned that we are proceeding with the reading of the bill and starting with the clause by clause without us having the same idea. I agree with you. The contentious part is the section that most of the people that made proposals with is not what we are currently dealing with. And I think we need to proceed to get to finalize this bill in order to get the Constitutional Court judgment timeline passed, and that we proceed with the rest of the work that this committee still needs to deal with, Chairperson. So let's finalize the clause by clause. We'll make our inputs as we get to each section. Thank you, Chair.
Baie dankie, Agbare Steyn. Ntate Matthias, Honorable Matthias.
Modulasitulo re lebohe sebaka se o re kadimang sona. Re tlhalosa gore ananela mantswe a gago a no a pula kopano. Re tlhalosa re ananela tlhaloso e entseng ya mosebetsi wa komiti. Re tlhalosa gape gore re ananela boteng le tlhoko e kgolo ya go lokisa taba ena ya ditokelo tsa go unwa ga lefatshe le go unwa ga ditsha tse fuweng batho ba rona. Re potla ke go tlhalosa gore re enelelwa gore go na le tshalelomorago e kgolo tsamaisong ena ya kuno ya lefatshe le ditsha, mme position ya lekgotla la rona la Economic Freedom Fighters le a tsebale. Re leboe sebale.
Ra leboa ntate Matthias, honorable Mahlatsi,
thank you very much, honorable Chair. Let me also join colleagues and honorable members in appreciating your input in your opening remarks. Chairperson, ho ya pele tla be le ho isenya ere ke amohele ke anane le mantso a ba sebetse mo tabeng ena. Ke a leboha.
Ra leboha Mme Mahlatsi. Let us move on to Mthembu, honorable Bauchapa. Bauchapa.
Dizamuvela. Thank you, Chair. Let me join my colleagues in appreciating the summary, which exactly explains what we understand and where we think we are, and which is also guiding us. And then I'm joining my colleagues in agreeing that let's proceed. Thank you very much.
Nkosi Mthembu sibulele kakhulu akubare Briet me Briet
dankie voorsitter ek is jammer ek het net bietjie goed en self
ek is goed man
nee dan is ek baie bly ek sal graag net die agbare Matiasse wil herinner dat hy is op hierdie portefeulje komitee as 'n lid van hierdie portefeulje komitee en hy is nie hier as 'n agbare ekonomiese vryheidsvegter nie dat hy dit dalk net moet onthou op daardie punt voorsitter ek wil om verskoning vra dat ek nie verlede week deel van die vergadering was nie I really do apologize and I will be in and out of this meeting as I have a few other crises that I need to mention and manage so on my side so I do apologize for that but I will try and partake as much as I want to but I would like to agree with what Honorable Slappy and Honorable Steyn said that we actually get this going we get this bill passed through so that we can carry on with the rest of our work I cannot reflect, and I will take my colleague's words that your summary was a true reflection of what happened last week. But yes, thank you, Chair, and it is good to see all of you again.
Thank you, Honorable Priet, and also want to applaud the work that you have been doing with the farmers. I see you in the front lines there. Keep being the voice of our farmers and the minority groups out there. Honorable Tabekulu, Dabezita, Nkosi Nkulu.
Angibonge Sihlalo, Nkhuleke. Kusihlalo kubingelela emalungeni asontakileyo angisho sihlalo ukuthi esandlalelweni osuthena wasibeka esifingqiwe ngomsebenzi owenziwe ngesonto ledlule ngolwesihlanu ngiyalandela ngiyakumukela ukwendlalela kwesihlalo ngiyathemba ukuthi namhlanje nami ngoba ngizobe ngiyingxenye ngizobe ngibuka mhlawumpe eduzane umsebenzi wonke owenzakalayo ngiwemukela ke nowenziwe ngesonto ledlule nenxa ngabe
Siyathokoza Ndaba Ezitha, Inkosi enkulu engafanelanga ufaya ofelwa sithi. Pondomse Majola, Honorable Mama Mbabama.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with Honorable Steyn. Also, andizowaxhobha ke Chair, Inkosi.
Bulela Mama Mbabama, Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. I think your report was a reflection of basically assess the Democratic Alliance in this committee stood for last week. We don't like the piecemeal approach, that we have to be very clear about it. But unfortunately, we have to, you know, comply with the court order. We are here firstly and most importantly as legislators, and we are here to make the laws that are applicable for the whole country, not only for certain parts of the country. So I think it is important that once we are done with this work, we consider really seriously looking at the entire Communal Land Act to apply and to assist our community as such. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masipa. Honorable Chwete.
Thank you, Chair.
Chwete, uyaphila mama?
Ngosi sanceda, Chairperson, ndiyabulela.
Siyaphila natako.
Sihlalo mangibulele ngithatha ithuba ngibulele ngesummary osenzele yona it is a true reflection of what we discussed last week I have nothing to add on it Mthembu you've covered everything I concur with the fellow members ezithi masiqhubekeke ngomsebenzi wanamhlanje ngithemba ke sihlalo into bangaba sizade siyifinalize ibill as expected and it will bear the interest of our people. Inkosi Mthembu.
Inkosi Mamotshwete. Honorable Montwedi.
Madume modula stilo le maloko a committee ba ba totlegang ka boikokobetso modula stilo ke sholoela a bo ka metwa ka ntate Matias a setse a khabarile dinthlatse o ne ke eletsa gore nka di tshwara le nna ka mashwabi a ke tle go nna le nyina mo kopanong ka gore ke nna le ministera mo oversight visit ke lebogetse nako modula stilo.
Ralebo a ntate Montwedi o mothokomele mamotitiza o rutumedisetse le kwa yena.
Re mothokometse hantle, re mothokometse hantle.
Honorable Mahlo.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to my colleagues, including our officials. Chairperson, I would like to take this opportunity to apologize that I did not manage to respond when you called me, but I would like to say that I welcome your opening statements. As Chairperson, as a through reflection of what happened last week, I really have nothing to say or to add on, but to agree with my fellow colleagues to carry on with the work of today. I think we need to proceed. Thank you very much.
Chair, you are muted.
Oh, sorry, honorable members. Thank you, Mayor Marshall. Is there any other honorable member that I've missed out? Honorable members, let us also thank you all for having kept honorable Mbatha in your prayers. She has been released out of hospital and is back at home recovering. I want to thank you all for the prayers that you have tendered and continue to keep her in your prayers so that she may fully recover. I am, honorable members, having challenges with this apps of mine today. I'm going to ask Honorable Tabe just to check on each clause that you are agreeing on. And I don't want to be cut off because of these challenges I have. So I would want to rely on her to proceed with the meetings. Honorable Tabe.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, please proceed with the meetings from where I've left off. We will just want to ascertain from honorable members on the issues residing on each clause so that we may able to close on that. So I'd like to hand over to you.
All right, Chair. My understanding is that we're starting from clause one, just to make sure that we're still on the same line with what we agreed on. We're going clause.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. In that case, honorable members, we have received also for sure in our emails what we always have. We having the amendment bill, upgrading of land tenure rights amendment bill. I don't know if Secretariat is able to share it also for the benefit of the public on the screen. Are you able to share it?
Uh,
Am I being assisted with sharing?
I'm gonna try. Yeah.
Okay. All right, it is showing on our screens, honorable members. This is upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Amendment Bill as introduced in the National Assembly, proposed section 76, explanatory summary of the bill and prior notice of its introduction, published in Government Gazette number 43045 of 25th February 2020. To amend the upgrading of the Land Tenure Rights 1991 so as to provide for application for Convention of Tenure Rights to Ownership, to provide for notice of informing interested person of an application to convert land tenure rights into ownership, to provide for an opportunity for interested persons to object to Convention of Land Tenure Rights into ownership, to provide for the institution of inquiries to assist in the determination of land tenure rights, to provide for application to court by an aggrieved person for appropriate relief, to provide for the recognition of conversions that took effect in good faith in the past, and to provide for matters connected here or therewith. Those are the objects. I would straightforwardly, honorable members, go into.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, I raised my hand on this one. I don't want us to just skip over this. I want to make a proposal for an amendment on the objects of the bill as you have just read, Chair.
Okay.
I have also looked at the proposal that was made by the NEDLAC team, and they have included the word certain. Under the second paragraph, that starts with application for conversion of land rights to ownership, where we include the word certain, we will then read as application for conversion of certain land rights, of certain land tenure rights to ownership. Chair, it brings us back to the original object of the bill before the word certain was taken out in the 1996 version, when they wanted to include this act as to the whole of South Africa. I think, listening to the chairperson, we agree that this act will not be for the whole of South Africa, but only certain areas. So I would like to make a proposal that we include that word here in the object of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Steyn. Honorable members, that is the submission from Honorable Steyn. Is there anybody else again on this matter, on the objects of the bill? I don't see any hand on the participant list. Secretariat and the legal team are here. For sure, they are taking notes. So that, as the chair has alluded, as and when the A list is brought before us, we are able to check on these amendments that members has proposed. Honorable members, we continue. The bill be enacted by Parliament of South Africa as follows. Amendment of Section 2 of Act 112 of 1991 as amended by Section 30 of Act 139 of 1992, Section 1.1, it says Section 2 of the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act 1991, here and after referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended, A, by the substitution for the heading of the following heading, conversion, application for conversion of land tenure rights mentioned in Schedule 1, B, by the substitution of section one of the following subsection, any land tenure right mentioned in Schedule 1 and which was granted in respect of any person who is a registered holder of a land tenure right according to the Register of Land Rights in which that land tenure right was registered in terms of provisions of any law, or could have been a holder of that land tenure right, it not been for laws or practice that unfairly discriminated against such person, may apply to the minister in the manner prescribed for the conversion of land tenure right into ownership in respect of A, any earth or other piece of land in a formalized township for which a township register was already opened at the commence of this act, shall at such commencement be converted into ownership. I would request that members take note of the bolded letters there as and when I read on these subsections. B, any earth or any piece of land in formalized township for which a township register is open after the commencement of this act, shall at the opening of the township register be converted into ownership. Or number C, any piece of land which is surveyed under supervision of any law and does not form part of township shall at the commencement of this act be converted into ownership. And as from such convention, the ownership of such earth or piece of land shall be exclusively in the person who, according to the register of land rights in which, according to the register of which land shall vest exclusively in the person who, according to the register of land rights in which that land tenure right was registered in terms of a provision of any law, was the holder of that land tenure right immediately before the conversion. I want to stop there before I go to the minister's receipt on application, that is subsection C. Is there anything on number 1A, B, C, honorable members? Those insertions or those amendments as bolded? Dr. Masipa?
Honorable Chair, it seems as if you are still coming you covered the B. The matter that I'm raising is the matter that was raised by NEDLAC. NEDLAC indicated to us that in section 2, they have requested that the minister, that we should maybe consider adding 1E in their respond, I think page 5, those that have got NEDLAC report in front of them, 5.3.1.1. It says the minister must designate an officer of the department or a suitably qualified person who is not an officer to conduct the inquiry. And further, they followed up with another point where they say the person designated under subsection 1 shall have all the rights and duties referred to in section 24D5BE 6 and 7. And 5.3.1.3, their recommendation is that where no objection is received within the prescribed period, the land tenure right shall be converted into ownership. And another submission was that where an objection is recorded, the person designated under subsection 1E1 shall, in addition to the rights and duties referred to in subsection 1E2, facilitate mediation between affected parties and report to the minister the outcome of such mediation. And finally, they recommended 5.3.1.5. Business noted that there should be no difficulty in transferring ownership where an application was not disputed. However, where an application is disputed, and the minister is called upon to decide on the validity of a registered tenure right or an objection thereto, it was concerned that a decision in favor of either party could constitute a deprivation of property under Section 25 of the Constitution and lead to constitutional challenge akin to those raised in relation to Communal Land Rights Act in Tongani case. It also noted that there could be instances where there are several legitimate but overlapping rights in the same property. It is for this reason that business proposed that a contested application should be referred to the courts, as courts are empowered to make any order which is just and equitable. Business was, however, satisfied with government's explanation that a party who is aggrieved by the minister's decision can still approach the court. So I'm bringing this submission because I think maybe we need to really talk about this issue. I know that Dr. Manenza also raised it in the last sitting, that maybe we should also look at this and ensure that, you know, we cover those that might not have the access to courts and so forth. That's my submission, Chair, that maybe we should consider these clauses and see if we are voting for or against adding them.
Thanks, Honorable Masika. I just stopped short of where you are. And having listened to you, I take, Honorable Members, that we are now at Section C1A, which outlines the process that the Minister shall follow upon receipt of an application. That is 1A, that the application be published in Gazette, a notice as prescribed, which informs all interested person of the application for conversion. 1B, the notice as contemplated in subsection 1A must provide all interested person with opportunity to object to the convention. Time frames within which to object to the convention must not be less than one calendar month. 1C, objection to a convention may be lodged in prescribed manner with the minister. 1D, must upon receipt of an application or objection contemplated in subsection 1 and B, institute an inquiry in the prescribed manner in order to assist the minister in determining the facts and to make decision relating to the conversion of land tenure, the objection thereto, and the vesting of ownership. What Honorable Masipa is bringing is the submission from NetLeg that there should be 1E also. Now that's where we are, Honorable Members. Here's the submission from Honorable Masipa, that do we take the submission from NetLeg as outlined on their submission? Honorable Masipa, is your hand still up, or is it the Memaso? I note Honorable Maso, then Honorable Stain. I don't know, Honorable Masipa, do you still want to come in first before the others? Please lower your hand.
I'm covered, thanks.
Honorable Maso, then Honorable Stain.
Chairperson, let me say that the input that is being suggested by Honorable Masipa, it can be taken into consideration as it was suggested at NetLeg, of which I think there is nothing wrong with it. Unless if the legal advisors, they're saying it's not right, yes, they can come in and help us. Thank you.
Thanks. Honorable Stay.
Chairperson, yes, I would support that we include the proposals from 1E and F, like in the proposal from NetLeg, Chair. I think it makes it a bit more clearer of, and not leaving it just to the wording of the minister. I would support that proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Stain. Legal advice, Honorable Marshall wanted to hear from your good selves if this will be in line with what we're supposed to do. There's a seconded motion by Honorable Masipa, by Honorable Stain, that 1E and 1F be included as suggested or proposed by NetLeg. Is Ntate Mjengani with us?
Yes, I am, Chairperson. Good morning to you and honorable members.
Yes. Honorable Maso has put it back to you.
No, Chairperson, at this stage, as Chairperson has outlined when the meeting was starting, that it's at a stage where members are deliberating on the clauses of the bill as before them and deciding which must stand and which must not stand. There is absolutely nothing in law or contravening as proposed by Honorable Masipa. We would be able to amend the bill or at least draft a committee amendment to give effect to the proposal by the honorable member. However, all that is outstanding is for the committee to deliberate and adopt that proposal and give us an instruction to go and craft an amendment that would fit in as clause number 1E in the proposed amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ntate Mjengani. Honorable Chete, your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I just needed some clarity, Chair, on the issue of what Honorable Steyn was saying, on the issue of also subsection E, that there's E and F. I was hoping that she would share with the committee about the F that she was referring to. But Chair, my view, since I listened to the legal advice that there's nothing legally binding or stopping that we add a draft, I would say, Chair, I think I'm not a person, I don't know who is the screen here, the bill. But Chair, I would say, I think Chairperson, hey, this screen is keep on changing, Chair. But I would go for OD of the options, Chair, because that's where it gives the minister an option to set up an investigation. And also, Chair, I was hoping to read it. Yes. 1D, Chair, where the minister, upon receipt of the objection or application, they can institute an inquiry and make a decision and about all these things, Chair. And now, Chair, I was like, I think that is sufficient. Now to add on E and F, whereas there's nothing that is legally binding to do so, I think this is enough, Chair, because in any objection, it's an objection between the applicant and the department, which is the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chete. There are two motions now on the floor. Honorable Chete is saying 1D covers the process and procedure that the minister can embark upon. I see Honorable Maso, Honorable Steyn. There's also a hand from Sia Heckles. Who's still?
Good morning, Chair. I'm the State Law Advisor.
Oh, thanks for that. Okay.
Yes, I just, if I may.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm jumping the queue, but just on the proposal, basically, Chair, I just want to reiterate in respect of paragraph C of the amendment of this clause, the new 1D, capital D, basically indicates that the application or the process for the receipt of an application or an objection will basically be prescribed, the inquiry will be prescribed, all those processes will be dealt with in the regulations. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the legal mechanism that's going to provide for the processing that will be done by the inquiry that will be instituted by the minister. So I just want to say that those matters can be dealt with in terms of the regulations as another proposal for the committee to consider. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Ntate Hercules. Honorable Masho, Honorable Stein, Honorable Mbambama.
Chair, my hands was up, yes, but I think the advisor has already mentioned something that was itching me, that he has already explained, Mr. Hercules. I think he has already explained what I wanted to ask, but I'm covered for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm listening to the other proposals. And Chair, I would stick to the inclusion of 1E, 1E2, 1F and 1F2 as proposed in the NECLAC proposal. The reason, Chair, is that I think it makes it a bit more clearer. 1E states that the minister must designate an officer of the department or a suitably qualified person who is not an officer to conduct the inquiry. Chairperson, the reason I think basically for this is the fact that we might be concerned about the capacity within the department. We have discussed the fact that the department does not have the capacity in all the times to deal with this. I think we have seen it in all kinds of other legislations, and even when the courts now had to appeal to provide a master of the court in dealing with issues that is long, long, long outstanding in other legislation and cases that the department is struggling with. So, Chairperson, if we really want to give effect to ensuring that this process is done speedily and correctly, I would still maintain that I'm seconding the proposal that we include 1E1, 1E2, 1F1, 1F2 as proposed in NECLAC proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mbambama.
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered by Honorable Stein. Thank you.
Honorable Masipa, Honorable Chete, are these, you still want to come back? Or this way, older hands?
No, this is a hand, just now. Chair, okay. Chair, I just want to support Honorable Stein on the 1E and 1E and F. I think what is important is that we are legislators, and I just want to repeat that. I think we know that, you know, in the end, this particular bill is the bad law. But I think we need to just make sure that we provide sufficient protection wherever we are doing the amendments at. I would think that it will really be wise of this committee to seriously consider the NECLAC suggestion of 1E. It's very clear, it's explicit, and there's no ambiguity about this, because what we are doing here, we are doing for the most vulnerable, which are women, and we got to be really sure of what we are giving them in the end. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Masipa. Honorable Masho.
Chairperson, let me go back to the advisor. If you look at what the advisor talked about on the 1D, where it says that the minister must, upon receipt of an application or objections. I mean, if we put somebody in the department and say he's the head of the department, then on the other side, we tend to say this person might not have capacity. I don't think somehow we are doing justice to that, because in terms of the policy and procedures of the department, according to this AD, A1D, I think somehow I might be divorcing myself from seconding exactly what the NECLAC is saying, because if you look at this one, where the minister will be able to implement whatever is needed to be implemented according to the regulations of the department, why should we think that the minister will not be having capacity? Why do we say the department does not have capacity? What is it that we can put on the table to say this department does not have capacity to do the work? So that is why I was saying the legal, they can advise us, and they did advise us accordingly that the, in terms of the procedures, policy and procedures, it is going to be dealt with at that level. So I don't think I'm certain to say that the minister cannot do the work. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Marshall. Honorable members, there are two submissions here. I think we must agree that the drafters are here. And as the chair has alluded to earlier on, we are doing our submissions today. There is another meeting where we would look at our submissions on as drafted, so that we agree how we take the process forward. Can I then request at this point that the legal team as drafters who are there take both submissions, go look at them and include them on our next meeting where they will be putting a draft before us, because we will debate and talk about this here the whole day. And I don't wanna say who's right, who's not right. All of us, like Honorable Member has indicated here, we are legislators and we want to what is at the best interest of our people. Our members are saying the same thing, Honorable Members. Others want it to be explicit, not rely on regulations to bring it. As summarized in 1D, the suggestion is that let it come explained thoroughly as 1E, 1F and everything. The other suggestion is that 1D covers the process through regulations. Can we then agree that the drafters will bring these two submissions together for us in the draft? They will go and look at it.
Agree. So
agree, Chair, thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Members. Amendments of Section 4. That's where we are. Can those that is controlling the screen move to that? Section 4 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection, notwithstanding anything to the contrary containing any law, but subject to subsection 2 and 3. A land tenure right mentioned in Schedule 1, and which has been granted in respect of any earth or any other piece of land in a formalized township, for which a township register has not yet been opened, shall bestow, pending the conversion thereof into ownership in terms of Section 2(1)(b), as soon as township register is open on the person who is, according to a register of land rights of the township, the holder thereof, or could have been the holder thereof, but for laws or practices that unfairly discriminated against such a person, all rights and powers as if he or she is the owner of the earth or the land in respect of which the land right has been granted. Ntate Masipale Memahlo, are this your hands that you didn't lower, or you wanna speak to this section? Ntate Masipa? Oh.
The hands sorry, are Chair, this was an old hand.
Okay. Do we agree with that one, Honorable Members? I don't see any hand on here.
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Let's continue. So insertion of Section 14A in Act 112 of 1991. The following section is hereby inserted in the Principal Act after Section 14, Court Applications. 14A, notwithstanding the provision of this Act or any other law, any person aggrieved by a conversion of land tenure right which took effect from 27 April 1994 may approach the court for an order. A, setting aside such conversion and registration of land tenure right, or B, that is just an equitable, 2, transfers of ownership of any earth or any other piece of land from 27 April 1994, in which a land tenure right has been converted in respect of A, any earth or acting in good faith, B, any earth or any other piece of land which has been inherited by a third party acting in good faith and the estate has been finalized in terms of the law of succession and the reform of customary law of succession and regulations of related matters, Act 2009, Act number 11 of 2009 has been applied, or number C, any heir for any other piece of land which has been converted to ownership in favor of a woman in terms of this act, acting in good faith, remain valid. Do I see any hands or is a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. We continue. Substitution of section 25A of Act 112 of 1992 as inserted by section 1 of Act 61 of 1998 and substituted by section 46 of Act 11 of 2004. The following section is hereby substituted for section 25A of the Principal Act. Application of Act 25A, this act applies throughout the Republic. 5, this act is called the Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Amendment Act 2020 and comes into operation on a date determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. There you are, Honorable Members. Ntate Masipa.
Chair, I think this is where the Parliament Law Advisor has spoken to us. If we include this 25A section in terms of saying that amending the Act to say that it applies through the whole Republic, it then means that we trigger section 19 and 20, which means that we will be touching on the communal land bill. And I think the feeling is that let's focus on the technical matter, which applies to, you know, complying with the constitutional court. So basically, I am raising a point of saying that section 25A should remain as is. It shouldn't be applicable to the whole Republic, meaning that it will be going into the communal areas, which we feel that at this stage, it might not be doing justice. That's my submission, Chair.
Honorable State, thanks, Dr. Masipa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, I agree with Honorable Masipa, and I want to support that, Chair, but I also, I missed that one. Unfortunately, the court applications 14A, I had my hand up, but I think I was a bit slow, Chair. I think we discussed last week on Friday that we need to include some wording on that, only focusing on court applications. Court applications is very, very costly and expensive, and that we must rather look at some kind of a committee that can deal with issues before anyone has to take this to court, Chair. We were not sure about the wording on that at the time. Thank you, Chair.
Noted, Honorable Stein. Honorable Chweta.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also, Chair, wanted to remind the committee about the what we agreed upon last week. But Honorable Masipa has already covered me that we agreed that we need to consider on the technical issues, especially the ones of the court order. I wanted to remind us on that one, Chair. And indeed, land expropriation without compensation, in my personal view, the communal land is not really our priority for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chete. I think, Honorable Steyn, your submission is taken. The drafters would look into that, or how do we make the court the last option. They would look into 14A and saying, how do we work around that? Honorable Masipa?
No, Chair, I'm having my hand. I'm not.
Honorable Kapa. Honorable Masipa? Oh, the hand is down. Please lower your hand, honorable members, after you speak. I know it's something that we often forget. You can come in, but then do me so, Kapa.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted a clarity on that part also, on that 25A. That reference that the Act applies throughout the Republic. Whether this implication of throughout the Republic, does it not mean that since it was referring to areas where there are townships, is it not in this case referring in the sense that townships would have been existing even in areas which were not part of the Republic, which were the TBVC states, or in this case, they are parts of townships which have always been in the Republic of South Africa, which were outside the TBVC state. Just a clarity on that part, Honorable Chair.
Our legal advice teams are here. Can they talk to this one? Because the underline means it's an insertion. This act applies throughout the Republic. Taking note that we're talking about Senu here. Or where do we stand with this one? As the portfolio committee has agreed to focus on the technical amendments cited by the court. Can we get us? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is Natim Chenwane, a parliamentary legal advisor. Chairperson, the section 25A, capital A of ALTRA, which was declared as unconstitutional to the extent that it referred to section 3 of ALTRA, is the one that was introduced through an amendment of the Land Affairs General Amendment Act 61 of 1998. Now, in terms of that amendment, it introduced 25A and it suspended. So 25A basically suspends the application of section 3, section 19, and section 20 of ALTRA. It makes it not applicable to throughout the South African territory, specifically the so-called TBVC states or homeland states. Now, Herbert in the same court decision challenged the only section 3 of the suspended sections, which sections are suspended by section 25A.
Mm-hmm.
And the court only confined itself to that section 3. It said, Section 25, capital letter A of ALTRA, as it relates specifically to section 3, or as it relates to the suspension of only section 3 of the three suspended sections, is declared constitutionally invalid. Meaning that from the day the court made that decision, then section 3 of ALTRA applied throughout the territory of the Republic of South Africa.
Okay.
So section 3 of ALTRA is the one that deals with the conversion of land tenure rights, which are mentioned in Schedule 2 of ALTRA. Schedule 2 is the one dealing with the rights to the occupation of land. It lists about three of those, Chairperson. I don't know if that assists Honorable Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe, Dr. Mjanglani, can you just read out Section 3 so that we relate it to Section 25 so that members are aware why Section 25, capital A, as inserted by the court there, as it relates to Section 3, that is not longer applicable.
Thank you, Chairperson. So Section 3 of ALTRA reads as follows. section 3, subsection 1, any land tenure right mentioned in schedule 2 of the Act and which was granted in respect of A, any earth or any other piece of land in a formalized township for which a township register was or is opened either before or after the commencement of this Act, or B, any piece of land which is surveyed under a provision of any law and does not form part of a township, shall upon the submission by the owner of such earth or piece of land at the deeds registry of a certificate of ownership on the form prescribed for that purpose under the Deeds Act and made out in the name of the person who is the holder of the relevant land tenure right, be converted into ownership by the registrar of the deeds. By being converted into ownership by the registrar of deeds, by the registration of such earth on piece or piece of land in the name of such person. So this is an automatic conversion. As from the registration of such earth or piece of land in the name of such person, the ownership of such earth or piece of land shall vest exclusively in such person. Subsection 3, no provision of section 15 or 17 of the Deeds Act shall apply, and no transfer duty, stamp duty, or other fee shall be payable in respect of the transfer of ownership effected by such conversion. 4, notwithstanding the provisions of the Deeds Act, the registrar of deeds shall register the transfer of ownership of any earth or any piece of land under the circumstances referred to in subsection 1 by signing the certificate of ownership submitted at the deeds registry in terms of that subsection. 5, or subsection 5, when the registrar of deeds has registered the transfer of ownership of any earth or any piece of land in terms of subsection 4, he shall A, make an entry of the transfer of ownership in the applicable township register or register of land right in the deeds registry. B, file the signed certificate of ownership in the deeds registry in such a manner as he may deem fit. And C, make a copy of the signed certificate of ownership available to the person who submitted it under subsection 1 or deliver it to the person to whom such an earth or piece of land has been transferred. So in effect, Chairperson, these three did not apply to the homeland territories, the former homeland territories. Mm-hmm. So the effect of 25A, the court said, was such that it did not give the equal protection of the law throughout the Republic of South Africa. And as a result, through that decision of Senku, this section 3 has been made, as far back as 2018 when the court made the decision, has been made applicable throughout the Republic. So all that would happen now in terms of the advice we've given, all that would happen now in this amendment process would be to give effect to what the court said, technically updating the statute book to reflect that section 3 is now applicable throughout the Republic. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Mjanglani. Honorable members, is that clear? Does it clarify your question, Dr. Kap?
Yes, it does, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Stein, Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is clear. I understand it like that. My question to the law advisor is the following. So what will stop the inclusion of that section then to say that 19 and 20 is not part of that, because we are now including 19 and 20 if we say that we make this applicable on all of South Africa. So there's nothing that indicates from our side that if we amend the bill to include it into the whole of South Africa, it will automatically mean that 19 and 20 will be part of that inclusion. Chair, that's how I understand it, because we can't scrap a section of the Principal Act if we amend it with other words. If the Principal Act will still stay in the way it is. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, my Honourable Masipa.
Yeah, Ndate Mjenkwan, the question that I have got is So if we say the section 25, we accept section 25, capital letter A, where it says this shall apply to the rest of the Republic. In my reading of this principal act, section 3, is that obviously it will then apply, it says, or a piece of land in the name of such person. So this is not going to be specifically township. I just want you to help me. It's going to be the whole of the Republic as such. And we are well aware that, you know, the rural areas are not surveyed and so forth, and deed registry is not really in existence in that particular space. I just want to know if my understanding is correct, that if we trigger the, we say, you know, section 25A is applicable to the whole Republic, then 3, 19, and obviously 20 will be applicable in the rural areas and basically give effect to land being transferred into individual ownership. Is that my understanding correct? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Masipa. Mr. Mjangwani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, at this point, I would like to remind honorable members of our discussion in our last meeting, in the committee's last meeting, where we advised that it would be advisable for the committee to only stick to what the court decision has directed that must be done, or to stick to the law as was made by the same court decision in relation to section 25, capital letter A of ALDRA. 25A, oh, sorry, the same court decision only pronounced as it relates to section 3 of ALDRA. It said 25A, to the extent that it suspends the application of section 3 throughout the Republic, is constitutionally invalid. So from that day on, the law was made that section 3 applies in all the territory of the Republic. However, 19 and 20 remains as suspended in terms of section 25A from application throughout the territory. Now, how we would give effect to that in draft for drafting purposes, we would bring a committee amendment amending the bill as proposed or as introduced to only refer to an amendment of section 25A to the extent that it suspends the application of section 3 throughout the territory. So that is in line with the Constitutional Court and what the court decided as far back as 2018. So the process that the committee will be engaged in now is merely to just update that. Now, just to go back, Chairperson, and refer to 19 and 20 of the Principal Act, which are the two other sections that are suspended by the application of section 25A of ALDRA. 19 is the one that deals with the legal capacity of tribe to obtain property, and 20 is the one that deals with the transfer of tribal land to a tribe. Now, the committee would remember that these are the sections that have been very contentious, on which much of the public input came from, to say that if you extended 19 and 20 throughout the territory, it would serve to further exacerbate the issue of insecure tenure in communal areas. And a lot of information evidence was brought before the committee to support that view. This is why, Chairperson, we then advised that because there is an extensive process that's taking place in the department, as promised to the committee, to bring an elaborate set of rules in the form of a communal land rights bill that's coming to Parliament to regulate the issue of communal areas or tenure security in communal areas, it would not be prudent for the committee to then extend the application of 19 and 20 in this amendment process. Because the department members would remember also mentioned that when that bill is introduced, the imminent bill is brought before the committee, it would amend in any way section 19 and 20, even if they were extended in this amendment process. And therefore, we then advise Chairperson that perhaps it would be prudent for the committee to only confine itself to what the court said in Senku by simply just updating the statute to reflect the decision of the court in Senku. Chairperson, I don't know if I have properly explained this situation to the understanding of Honorable Masipa and Honorable Stein. But the long and short of it is that 25A, as it applies to Section 3, has already been decided by the courts that that must be the law, and it is the law as it currently pertains. However, the statute book doesn't reflect that because the law in the statute is made in Parliament, and therefore this amendment process would simply just update that. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Ntate Mzengani. Honorable members, that is the explanation, and I still want to remind ourselves that we agreed that we will stick only to what the court decided upon, so that we comply with the court order. And it has been alluded to in the morning by the chair that after these deliberations and submissions that we are making, we will be getting a draft of the amendments for considerations. So this does not end here. We are expecting a draft A list from the drafters that we could again go over them and see if our amendments, if our submissions has been captured. I don't know, honorable members, whether that makes our life easier in that instance. I'm going to give honorable Stein so that we go to the remarks, the legal advice, then afford the department also to do remarks so that we pave a way forward as we await the draft in our next meeting. Honorable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the state to the state law advisor, Chair. I think I agree with what he's saying. I understand that we are only looking at what the courts told us to do. I think what I might not understand, I am going to make a proposal after I've said what I don't understand, Chair. When you deal with an amendment, you cannot only look at the amendment. You must look at the impact of what the amendment will do to the Principal Act. So if we say, as this committee, that we ensure that the bill then looks at, and the correct words under 25A says, to be extended into the whole of South Africa, it will mean, as far as I understand, that it will include 19 and 20, because this act applies throughout the Republic. The act, the original the original Upgrading of Land Tenure Rights Act 1991 will then applies throughout the Republic. So if we read the original one of 1991, it includes sections 19 and 20 that speaks about the areas in communal areas. So maybe, Chairperson, I'm not clear on how it works or what the process is. I understand everything of what the legal implications was in the court, but it's nothing that we say now to say that according to the, that and that, it excludes 19 and 20. We're not excluding it. We're including it when we say in the whole of the Republic. So, Chairperson, I would like to make a proposal that once, I think, you know, it's not clear to myself. I would like further information on that that we can do afterwards. I would like to propose that when we get the amendment version for next week, we ask our committee researchers to write all the sections of the previous amendments into one piece of legislative page or a document, including the proposed amendments that we have now, and it be highlighted so that we can actually read the Principal Act with all the inclusions of the amendments, so that when we read it, we know exactly how the amendments is going to affect the Principal Act, Chair. That is the proposal that I would like to make. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Steyn. That is noted, and the drafters are here. Honorable members, can I then give opportunity to our state's law advisors just to make concluding remarks, and then we move to the department to do the same. Are here with us.
Chair, I would like to say something small before they come in, please.
All right. I know you are incapacitated in terms of your gadget in raising your hand because I checked the participant list. You can go on, our Honorable Kapa.
While they summarize and explain everything to us, I would just get it clear that can we make a law that does or that does not apply to some part of South Africa? As this committee, can we make a law that we say this one does not apply to some part of South Africa as a territory now in this case? Because I'm under the impression that some of the things here in this legislation are based on the fact that South Africa of that time was balkanized, and therefore we want to have law that resolves and cancels that. So is it possible that we make a law that says this one does not apply to other parts of South Africa? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kapa. There you are, state law advisors. You will incorporate that response in your closing remarks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to reiterate or further explain the point that I tried to make in my initial comments. So, I don't know if honorable members have a copy of the Senqu decision, the Herbert versus Senqu decision, which is the Constitutional Court decision that dealt with this issue that we're discussing. If members do have this, I would just like to make this one comment, Chairperson, that the ALTRA is a 1991 legislation. So it's one of the pieces of legislation that were introduced just towards the end of the apartheid era. And in 1991, honorable members would remember that part of the territories of South Africa were still balkanized. We still had the so-called TBVC state. So the laws that were passed in the then known Republic of South Africa did not automatically apply to the former homeland states. Now, ALTRA was also part of those pieces of legislation, which were introduced towards the end of apartheid, which sought to extend the land or the tenure security of black people over land. But because it was made as a former Republic of South Africa Act, it did not apply to certain territories of the Republic. Now in 1998, an amendment was done to correct that constitutional defect, to make the law applicable throughout the territory of South Africa, meaning even in those areas which were formerly excluded. However, even in 1998, when 25A was passed to extend the application of ALTRA, it suspended the application of three sections of ALTRA and made them not applicable throughout the territory of South Africa. In the judgment of Senqu, it is mentioned that the whole suspension of the three sections, which is 3, 19, and 20, from applying throughout the territory of South Africa, could have been partly influenced by the fact that the issue of land administration and tenure security in communal areas is a very complicated matter, and is a matter that needs extensive rules to administer or to manage or to regulate, and could not have been exhaustively dealt with under sections 3, 19, and 20. Now, 3 is the one that talks about the automatic conversion of rights, which Herbert took to the Constitutional Court and said the fact that it did not apply to him or to other territory of the Republic made it such that he did not enjoy the full protection of the law as everyone else. And the court agreed with him. But the court, having the inherent jurisdiction to decide all matters and not only matters before it, it constrained itself from extending the application of sections 19 and 20 and only pronounced itself in the application, which is the conversion of rights as provided for in section 3 of IPA, and said these must apply throughout the territory. But 19 and 20, which is the one that deals with, as I read to members earlier, 19 deals with the legal capacity of tribe to obtain land. No, we can, so we can immediately tell that this is an area, this is a communal area dealing with tribes. 19 and 20 deals with the transfer of tribal land to a tribe, which again we can deduce from the use of the words there, that it deals with land in communal areas, as well as the provisions of those sections are quite clear that they deal with land in communal areas. Now that, as the department has explained, the members of agreed, is an area that is extensive regulation, which has now been promised to the Communal Land Rights Bill. So that's where the difference is. The 1991 Act only applied to the former Republic of South Africa. In 1998, was amended to apply throughout the territory, suspending only three sections, 3, 19, and 20. Constitutional Court then says, to the extent that 3 did not apply throughout the territory, it was unconstitutional, making law on that day as far back as 2018, saying that from the day that the court makes this decision, section 3 of ULTRA shall be deemed as if it applies throughout the territory. So what the committee would be doing by effecting that amendment in the statute, by updating the statute to reflect the Constitutional Court decision, it would not be making new law, because the court made that new law in 2018 already. And therefore today, before even this committee has finalized the process, Section 3 is applicable in the, throughout the territory of as a result of the court decision, in the same court decision. So when the committee agreed that it would only stick to what the Constitutional Court has directed, or the guidance of the Constitutional Court in regard to ULTRA, that effectively meant that the committee would amend Section 2.1 so that the legislation does not discriminate against women, as was found in the Rahube decision, that's the first decision. And secondly, to effect that which the court decided in Senku in 2018 to also be updated and reflected in the statute. So that's the effect of that section 3 of 25A, to the effect that it suspended application of section 3 throughout the territory. So the effect of that, even after this amendment, would mean that 19 and 20 is still suspended, as the legislation says it is suspended. And that is because the committee has said that it has been promised a bill by the department which will extensively regulate the issue of tenure security in communal areas. Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Mjangwani. We will await the draft A list that will give more clarity on what you're saying. And I think that will also give members a feel of their submission into these amendments. From the ministry, DG, let me afford you an opportunity. You have been spectators from last week. Is there anything that you would want to speak to? Is the DG still with us? Deputy Minister? Yes. Come again?
It's mute.
Honorables Dumo Dlamini, DM, maybe I must afford you, you will know who is in your team will do this closing remarks for today's session.
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. I thought the DG is there, and I would wish that he speaks, but I'm happy that the chair did make that outline summary as to where we ended last week, assisting me also to be really, really fully part of the process. If there are issues that will need us to work on, the DG must comment, and we really appreciate, and I'm happy with the question that was asked, and I hope it will be answered, that can we treat issues as just specific to a one portion of the country, where when we are in one country, the law applies to all of us, but may our DG or whoever is there in the leadership of our officials make comments. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks, DM. Much appreciated. DG, that Ndushabane?
Hi, Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to suggest, in the absence of the DG, Advocate Ramasala is here on the platform.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Advocate, we are in your hands.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable members. As the department, my name is Ramasala Sello from the Legislation Development Unit of the department. I'm part of a team that was responsible for putting together the bill. We are grateful that the committee has agreed to proceed with the bill and that it is working to finalize the bill. If you can comment with the chair's permission on the issue raised by Honorable Kapa, I understand and agree with Advocate Mzengana's explanation, but the challenge remains. As the department, you will notice that the bill that was introduced seeks to make the act apply throughout the Republic. We did so because we are mindful that from a personal point of view today, you cannot make a law that is not applicable to certain parts of the country. It creates a lot of problems, and that's why Section 3 was challenged on those bases. Honorable members will note that when we responded to this issue as raised by the public in public comments, I think the content advisor was convinced by the arguments from the stakeholders that if we also make sections 19 and section 20 applicable to the entire Republic, by doing that, we will not be protecting the individual tenure rights obtaining rural areas. At the time when we responded, we had said that that concern is premised on the fear by the public that when the minister implements sections 19 and 20, when the minister transfers communal land to communities, the public will say that the minister will be transferring communal land to traditional leaders and thereby depriving community members of their individual rights. And then we were saying that that fear cannot be the basis of not making the act applicable throughout the Republic. Instead, they should have been saying that by doing that, you know, we are acting unconstitutional, or the bill is unconstitutional. So the apprehension for for making sections 19 and 20 applicable was that when it gets implemented, it will not be implemented correctly. And we were saying that that can be the basis. And we did not agree with those arguments. Because we move from the premise that you know, even after the passing of this bill, if we continue to exclude sections 19 and 20, anybody can go to court like they did with section 3 and challenge the bill and still be back to parliament trying to because obviously the person will succeed because they've succeeded before. So it means we'll go back to parliament and do what we as the department propose that we do, that we make the entire act apply throughout the republic. That's our view, Madam Chair. In short, that as stated in the bill as introduced, as the department we proposed that the act be made applicable throughout the republic, because it's not constitutional to do otherwise. But the content advisors were convinced by the arguments from particular from the LRC and the I think a law research center from UCT that if we make sections 19 and 20 applicable, then we will be not be protecting individual rights with regard to land tenure rights in communal land. We do not agree with the approach, but that's why we will still be proposing that the whole act be made applicable throughout the republic as introduced, as the bill as introduced before the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members.
Thanks, Advocate Ramasala. I don't want you to take us back. We made tremendous progress as the committee up to now, but Kasetswana Barimwele Vibuela Khaki. And I think we are at a stage, honorable members, where the committee submissions to the amendments has been noted, and the drafters will bring the draft A list to our next meeting so that we take it from there based on the submissions of Friday and today, which then takes us to the end of today's meeting. Is that agreed?
Yes, agreed, Chair.
Thanks so much, honorable members. You will receive then your invite as usual for our next meeting. And let me thank everybody who participated in today's session. And thanks for the cooperation of all members and participants today, as I had to stand in for the chair of this portfolio committee, Honorable Mandla Mandela, who hopefully would have sorted the technology issues in our next meeting. But I really appreciate your cooperation, honorable members. Have a blessed afternoon. This meeting stands adjourned. And thanks, Honorable Zumo, for the leadership in the ministry that you have been with us. And for sure, you're taking notes of what we are proposing as a department, as a portfolio committee. We have indicated that our interest is to see that we comply with the order of the court. Honorable members, this meeting stands adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Metabe.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you.
Well done.
Pussy, how are you, young lady?
Hey, Honorable Stein, how are you?
Fine.
Baba Chapa.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, and how are you?
I'm fine.